Hey everybody, this is Chris Lopez, and you are listening to No Context, the podcast. I'm sitting with my friends Cameron, Jason, and Caleb, and today we are reviewing Season 1, Episode 9 of Band of Brothers. The episode is called Why We Fight. So, since this is the first episode of the podcast, let's just go around and talk about our favorite TV show.
Sounds good.
Okay. Cameron, why don't you start?
Band of Brothers. No, I'm just kidding. favorite TV show. I think my favorite one is probably different than what I think is the best one, if I could clarify that.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of stuff out there that I can say is like, wow, it's the best thing I've ever seen on TV. But it's not my favorite. I grew up watching Dragon Ball Z. That's probably my favorite show of all time just because it's something I grew up with and I have nostalgia with it. It's something like, what's your favorite smell? Oh, my grandma's cooking, because it takes me back. So, right. Dragon Ball Z.
I'm glad you said cooking.
Oh, man. I mean, I love Dragon Ball Z. I still watch it. We actually watched it in the theaters the other day. Man, what is my favorite TV show? That is a tough one. You know, I don't know if I can choose this one. Right now, what I am absolutely in love with, just like every other person in this world is in love with, I got to go with Game of Thrones. It keeps me... I don't think I can remember a show that kept me on the edge of my seat more than Game of Thrones has, where just the anticipation is just... too much sometimes. Like, we've waited a whole year and some change for this season to drop, and it's still, you know, 7 days away, 16 hours, 24 seconds, whatever.
is Game of Thrones, because I had never seen Game of Thrones, is Game of Thrones one of those shows that you feel like it's gone on a little too long? Like, it should have ended, maybe?
No, if anything, for me, there's so much more that needs to be told, awesome. And it really, it seems like they're rushing it, if anything. Sometimes you'll see an episode where it's like, all right, too much fast traveling. Let's slow it down. But they are set on a deadline, so they're gonna hit that deadline. So if anything, it's the opposite. It's one of those shows where it feels like it's being rushed and it needs to take its time a little bit. But
maybe it feels like it's rushed because there's like too many storylines in Game of Thrones.
It feels like it's rushed because it's literally rushed. You know, these books are 800 to 1,000 pages. There's a ton of stuff going on. You know, they go from one city that should be, you know, what, a 10-day travel, and in one sequence they're in one city, and in the next sequence they're, you know, at another city, which is 10 days away. There's storylines that are wrapped up quickly, characters that you haven't seen in a while that still aren't there. I don't know. There's only one season left, and there's a lot to be told still.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it more when we cover Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
and it'll be a lot of Cameron answering questions, because
just a teaser.
You're the only one that hasn't seen it, right?
Think so.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about it more then. But I do agree. Somebody on Reddit said it was like the last hour of a really long D&D session where everybody's wanting to go home. You know, wives are calling like, yeah, hey, where you at? And the DM just, you know, blinks everybody from place to place, and combat is really rushed, and the exposition is pretty much zero. So anyways, we'll talk about it more. Caleb, what's your favorite TV show?
So I'm not a guy who likes to rehash. I don't like to go back and rewatch movies, television shows. I don't. True, it is Friends. That's about the only show that I will go back and rewatch. It's again, nostalgia bringing me back.
It's a good show.
To when I was younger. Show. I mean, it's not great.
It's great. It's a great show.
Friends. It's a great sitcom show. Seinfeld. Yeah. Sitcoms. I love sitcoms.
No,
I'm more
it.
Of a sitcom person. So, yeah, I mean... I would say Friends.
This is such a hard question.
Because I wasn't told that this was going to be our question.
Can we just, like, if we would have said, like, different genres, I would have went Dragon Ball Z, then I would have went, you know, How I Met Your Mother for sitcoms, and Gunsmoke for old movie or old TV shows, and, you know, there's so much out there.
Yeah. No, it is a hard question, because, yeah, I have a favorite drama, favorite comedy, favorite,
oh, absolutely.
You know, animated show or whatever, but... If I had to pick one show, like a Jim does in the office. Like, what would you take to your to a deserted island? Like, what would you just always watch? It'd probably be a tie between The Office and The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Hands down. There's just so much in each episode. Especially with The Simpsons.
Yeah. That can last you a lifetime.
Yeah. Even now, rewatching old...
It's been on a lifetime.
Old... It has. It's the longest running sitcom on television.
True story. I've only seen like two episodes.
That's insane.
At one point, I was watching season 1 through 10 over and over and over for about a couple of years, I'd say.
Because that's you owned them.
Yeah. And those are the only good seasons after that. I mean, right. Even that is pushing it because 1 through 6 is considered like the golden age of The Simpsons. Then 6 through 8, it's like Conan O'Brien left, so whatever. And then after that, it's just garbage. And there's a couple of good episodes here and there between 8 and 12. Anyways, good stuff. I don't think we'll get to cover The Simpsons because I think most of us have at least seen an episode of The Simpsons.
We should.
I didn't know Conan was a part of.
Maybe we'll cover The Simpsons.
He was a writer.
Yeah, he was a writer.
I feel like we should.
He was really good. He wrote my favorite episode, the monorail episode.
The monorail. What's that name?
Monorail.
Say it again.
Yeah. So, anyways, we might cover it. I don't know. Let's talk about Band of Brothers. How much have you guys heard of this show prior to this podcast? Prior to today's view, we just finished watching.
I heard the name. I didn't realize how old it was until I saw a character look like a young Shia LaBeouf.
Which character?
Tom Hardy.
Oh, Tom Hardy is a bag of bones in this show.
He was 145 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah.
Like you look at him, you're like, holy crap. Bane, what are you doing? Yeah. It was like Bane before the toxic drugs in him. That's if I could just explain that in more detail. I remember hearing about it, but I had no idea what it was about. I thought it went on for a long time too, actually.
Yeah, there's just one season.
It's one season.
And after, apparently, based on what Twitter tells me, there's a second series, The Pacific. Starring our homie Rami Malek,
of
Queen fame, Mr. Robot. So yeah, we might watch that too. Somebody on Twitter recommended it. It was actually, let me give a shout out to
I do shout outs.
Easy Rider Raging Podcast at ERR Podcast. This person said that the show was very much Saving Private Ryan, the show. And would recommend The Pacific. There were a couple people that were like, nah.
Yeah, some people, Pacific, I read some of the reviews on The Pacific. I don't remember what they said, but they said it was bunk. But
yeah. I mean, compared to what we just saw, which, I mean, my second time watching it, I watched it yesterday. I watched it again today. Like, it leaves you short for words, just the stuff you see. How much of either of you guys, Cameron, Caleb, have you guys heard of this show before?
My dad owns the series on DVD. That's I never opened it up. I never put it in, but I know he really enjoyed it. He's a
war guy.
He's a former Marine, and he watched it with my uncle, who used to be in the Army. And that's pretty much what they do. They watch war movies all the time and war shows. And
nice.
I know he really enjoyed this series.
Veterans Day must be a marathon at your dad's house.
Yes, that's all that is on.
Watching the History Channel all day.
Exactly. I just came home and my dad was watching my son, and he had Kung Fu on, and it was a young, you know, David Carradine. I was like, "Dad, what are you doing? Dex doesn't want to watch this." He's like, "Nah, he's fine."
So, correct me if I'm wrong. Is there a movie like? Was like related to this or something like that?
I think just Saving Private Ryan, if you were gonna say there's a movie related to this.
Yeah, I could have sworn. Maybe I just always heard Band of Brothers and thought like, oh, there's a show and there's also a movie called Band of Brothers or something.
But I don't think so, but again, there's no context. Exactly. So yeah, I don't know.
I don't believe so.
And this aired on HBO?
Yeah, HBO.
Yeah, so
because we saw some nipples, so
some side
at least some nipples per episode is HBO's. It's what they need for a show. All right. Let's start from the beginning, then.
Let's do it.
What did you think of the intro to the show? including, like, I'm guessing that the people talking were in the battalion or company.
Yeah.
That that was displayed there.
From what I gathered, it starts off with a few older men talking about, I want to say they're talking about this episode and what they thought about it. And then it leads into a very dramatic...
But like what they went through.
What they went through, yeah. Right. And then it leads into this dramatic sequence of showing off the characters, their names. And it was pretty lengthy, but it was very intriguing. And
yeah.
I don't know if I would want to watch that at the beginning of every episode, but for the first time, I thought it was pretty neat. I thought the music was great. I thought it looked aesthetically pleasing. I was very shocked. Like, once again, I'm very shocked that this was made in 2001.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, 2001, and it looked good. HBO was on it. So
yeah.
I'm assuming they had probably like 10 older gentlemen and probably interviewed them and just got all their stories together. And
yeah, this and was made the a series. I think
and so. They just kind of clipped together, you know, what pertained to that episode. And
yeah.
I enjoyed it. I would definitely like that at the beginning of each episode, if just to kind of tie it in, or even at the end of the episode, probably better.
Yeah,
you watch it,
that part I would like. I don't know if I would want to watch the sequence following that though. Every time, yeah. That
it's kind of like,
oh, the intro, you mean? Yeah. The actual music,
yeah,
playing.
Because I do like
credits.
But if you watch any other HBO show like Game of Thrones and Westworld, those intros are just lengthy.
Reminds me of Netflix too. Every time, well, maybe I feel like this because every time you watch a Netflix show, say you're watching Daredevil, you can't really skip the intro for whatever reason.
Really?
It didn't let you originally.
Not
so
really.
I remember having to watch the Daredevil intro so many times. One of the parts that I really liked at the beginning, they were talking, the older veterans, they were talking about the Germans, calling them krauts and everything. And I was like, oh, sauerkraut, yeah, that's cute. going off of what Jason was saying, they were saying that they're a lot like us, that they aren't just evil. They're a lot like us. They are just doing what they're supposed to do, just like we're doing what we're supposed to do. And that kind of sets the tone for the whole episode, and it kind of goes slow, but I think that it's very meaningful. I'm sure we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll talk about more about they're a lot like us, especially with the sequence with Ron Livingston, who I haven't seen in anything since Office Space. And now he's in a show where he commits suicide or something. Anyways.
Interesting.
That's crazy.
There's that sequence with him breaking into the house with the woman and everything, but we'll talk about that in a minute. While we're on the subject of characters, though, we have Ron Livingston, who's Captain Nixon. I'm assuming he's the main character of the show just based on what we saw. Another big name that we saw, Michael Fassbender, was there. He didn't do much this episode. Like, he was just there, so I don't know if maybe this was his first...
Mm-hmm.
Big show or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Kind of popped out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Is that Fassbender? And it kind of looks like him. Yeah. Of course, the younger version of these guys.
And then Tom Hardy, we already talked about, super skinny. Like, I don't even know when he would have done Bronson. I know Bronson's an older movie, but in Bronson, he was already huge.
Exactly what I was thinking.
And then what was he doing after that? He did a couple other movies.
For Inception, really.
Lawless.
Lawless was after Inception.
Yeah. Inception was huge. He was huge.
Yeah.
Great.
But I don't know. I don't know how he got so big. I mean, if Christian Bale can do it, I guess his nemesis can do it too. those were the three big people that I recognized. Some of you guys recognize the dude from Walking Dead, who I don't know who that is. I don't watch Walking Dead.
Abraham
from The Walking Dead.
His biggest like he was a character loved by all. Every episode seems like there would be a quote from Abraham. My personal favorite. How censored is this the show?
How censored? None.
Okay.
None.
Well, my favorite quote is "Mother Dick," and go ahead and look that up. Google image that, and you'll get exactly what you want.
Okay. Better duck-duck-go that so that you don't leave any traces.
Yeah, incognito.
So, let's talk a little bit about some of the minor characters. We have that really short Italian guy. I think his name was Frank. First name Frank. I don't know what his last name was.
Yeah, his name is Frank.
All right, so we have him. He's been at war for 2 years, he said, or he's been deployed for 2 years. And he
he said he hasn't seen home
in 2 years. He hasn't seen home in 2 years, so we don't know how long he's been deployed. He's giving O'Keefe a hard time because he's the newbie. And O'Keefe, you can tell he's read the manuals, right? He goes into that little bunker or outpost or whatever, and, you know, he flips open the... and excuse my lack of knowledge of weapons, the place where the bullets go into, like the magazine or whatever. Everything I know about guns is from Halo, so...
Not even Call of
Duty. Where the needles would be in the needler. That's...
Needles in.
He opens that up and, like, checks all the stuff, makes sure it's working or whatever, and then, you know, he doesn't do it swiftly. He does it step by step. He checks this, checks that, closes it, karate chops it down, makes sure it's closed. So you can tell, like, this kid read all the manuals before coming out. He was ready, right? And I feel like this episode develops his character so well. Like, this is the first time that we see this character. Obviously, we see this character, but I think this is the first time this character is presented in the show. And... He develops almost completely. He comes in, he's your standard newbie, ready to go, and then he gets called to action, sort of. I mean, he's just on the truck, and then he witnesses the three Nazis being shot, right? And that shakes him up. Yeah. And then they go into the concentration camp, and that puts him on his ass. Like,
right.
From start to finish, he goes from being so ready to not knowing what to be ready for anymore.
I mean, in a sense, he's kind of like us.
Exactly.
We're just sitting there, like, when he was whistling and stuff like that, I was like, dude, that'd be totally me. Like, I'm just humming, having a good old time, and this guy's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, literally, he's just like, you need to cut this out. Like, you have no idea where you are. And so for us to kind of see that through his eyes, be like, and then the other guy not even apologize for it, like, wow, what is happening?
And then at the end, you're right. This character is us watching this movie or this show. Because at the end, I think I was sitting there with him. Like, what did I just watch? What is happening?
Is this real?
Yeah. Because, I mean, I've seen plenty of war movies. I've seen plenty of World War II stuff. And just the way that the concentration camp was depicted in this show was just beyond anything I'd ever seen.
Very realistic. Yeah. Because it wasn't... Because I've seen movies with concentration camps, but they're always over the top. This seemed like it was what it was.
Real, right. There was an aspect of reality to it because, it wasn't overly dramatic.
Right.
It was dramatic, but not overly.
It was very simple. And, you know, maybe this is just a concentration camp.
Right.
And not like one of those bigger ones.
Right. And that's what the guy was saying when Nixon went back in afterwards, after they had found it. The guy says, you know, they found a bunch of these, and the Russians had found the worst one, which is 10 times bigger. I'm assuming they're talking about Auschwitz,
right.
Just based on what we know from history. But I don't know who found Auschwitz. But in any case, it seems like this was the first time that the Americans had found out about concentration camps, at least the troops. I don't know about higher-ups. Like, maybe they knew, but... You're just there with them the whole time, being shocked at what they're seeing. Because I didn't expect to see a concentration camp, right? Mm-hmm. But it was there, and it was crazy.
Yeah, it wasn't in my frontal vision of things to see in this episode. I thought it was just going to be something like fire, gunfight.
Yeah, no, that's what I thought too.
I really thought that.
Especially because they built it up like that. They turned off the music when they were walking through that forest.
Oh, entering a war zone or something, battlefield.
Right, and one of the guys says, doesn't this remind you of this other place we were at? And the guy says, yeah, except there's no snow and there's no crowd artillery going off. And then you're like, there's going to be crowd artillery.
Oh, I thought for sure.
You know there's going to be
the rookie was going to get killed. I thought for sure the rookie was going to get killed. I was like, oh... they set him up. He's gone. I thought it was foreshadowing.
Yeah,
red
shirt. Yeah.
I thought it was foreshadowing. Like, oh, you know, that you're here and every person that's taking that spot has died.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's dead. But
no, he wasn't. You know, it's funny because the newbie, he was talking about how he wanted to see action. That's why Frank initially got pissed. He's like, dude, like, I've been here over 2 years. Like, you don't want to see action. Stop, you know, talking like that. And by the end, technically, he doesn't really see action. He doesn't see any Germans. He's not fighting. And yet, his character changes so dramatically just by, you know, being at this concentration camp, seeing these people, just their bodies just demolished by, you know, lack of food, lack of sleep, lack of water. It was amazing just to have his character develop so much just from being there and seeing all that.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the main character, Ron Livingston, Captain Nixon. He's an alcoholic, right? He's on the quest for this
whiskey.
This whiskey.
How do we even know that he was on a quest for himself, though? Do we know that the whiskey was for him?
I feel like they kind of make that known when he wasn't really... He didn't ask anybody else about anything. He didn't ask anybody for their liquor. He was looking for his own. I think this was something personal.
We're jumping in, you know, episode 9. You could be looking for someone else. Like, yeah. It could be a gift for someone.
So here's why I think it's for himself. In just a very brief conversation he has with the guy that told him about his demotion, he tells him, the guy's telling him, you're demoted, you know, you're going to be working in this position now. And Captain Nixon says, what do I tell the families of these kids that made the jump or were trying to do the jump, but got killed up in the air somewhere over Germany? I think he's, before this episode, he's been battling with some stuff. You know, he came into this war and he was prepared, right? And we'll get into how his character changes in this episode. But he's ready for this war. He has his wife at home. They have a kid or kids. And they have a dog. And he goes out here. And it's just a massacre. But I think he resents the fact that he has never been able to do anything about it. Because he says, I'm in this such high-ranking position, and I've never fired my gun once in combat. That means he's never had to defend himself. He's never had to defend anybody. And even so, under his supervision or just next to him, he's seeing all these kids get blown up. He says their CO got blown up too, so now it's up to him to respond to these families. Like, he didn't sign up for this. He wasn't prepared. And then later on in this episode, he gets the letter from home, and it says that his wife is leaving him. She's taking the kids. She's taking the house. She's taking the dog. I think he loses his will to live, in all honesty. If you follow the song, especially, they're saying...
What of a hell of a way.
A hell of a way to die. Glory, glory. We'll never jump again, or something like that. And he only says... He only sings the lyric, what a hell of a way to die, and then doesn't sing any other part of the song. I think he's ready. I think he's ready to cash in his chips. Like, they've been in combat for at least 2 years.
Right.
He's already the rank of captain, so you know he's at least been in it and never been given the opportunity to prove himself, to develop himself. And now he doesn't have a home to go back to.
Right.
His wife is gone, his kids, his dog. And this is what I thought was super cool. He goes into the house, right, looking for liquor. And he stumbles on the pictures of the German general or captain or whatever. He breaks it. He's the picture of the wife. And then the wife comes in. And you know this wife's been chilling because he had... undone the record that was spinning that had already played through the entire record. This wife of this Nazi bastard is waiting for him. And they're evil, right? He knows it in his head. Like, these are the dudes that have been killing my friends this whole time. But somehow, this lady is still waiting for him. How come How come I don't have that? How come my honey left me when I'm supposed to be the good guy? Like, he is over the line. He is beyond the line. He is done with life. And I think that's the reason why he goes back in the end. When the dude says, oh, you know, we're gathering up everybody in town so they can go help bury the bodies. He goes over there to check if she's there. Because I think he was just looking for a reason to stop hating her and hating himself. He hated her for the fact that she wasn't what he wanted his wife to be.
Loyal.
Right, loyal. Or she was what he wanted his wife to be, loyal, but right. His wife wasn't.
She even had a dog at the end, by the way.
Right, that's the thing. That's what drew me in, yeah. But she's there. And she's pulling her own weight. You kind of see the progression of people helping out. Like, there's at first, there's those people wheelbarrowing somebody, and then somebody carrying a body, and then the dude that's, like, getting sick, just shoveling. But this lady is all up in those bodies, right? Despite the fact that her husband is this Nazi big-time guy, she's willing to get in there and willing to get her hands dirty because she knows that this is a good thing. I think that was very redemptive for him, like, very cleansing. Like, there's goodness on both sides. Like the guy was saying in the beginning, Cameron, you know, these guys could have been my friends had we not been on opposite sides of this war. There's good and there's evil.
Evil on both sides, because when, you know, they're driving through the town, all of them on their cars, and the American bring out the Germans and just shoot them in the head. Like,
yeah.
Do they need to? I mean, some of the guys were kind of uneasy about it. Some of them were like, yeah, well.
Frank was like, yeah, you know, that's, shit happens. Yeah. They deserved it. They're Nazis.
Yeah.
Is it good? Is it bad? I mean, I know it's wartime, but it. That kind of stuff happens on both sides, so
yeah. Those actions are cut from the same cloth end of the day, and that's war, basically. Is the other side are the evil guys, we gotta take them down, because why? Oh, because I'm reading in the paper that they're bad. Right. Something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have a reason, really. You're just told this is what you're supposed to do. You gotta go defend, like, what's yours, basically. Yeah. Even if that means going into their land, going into their houses, taking whatever you need, whatever you feel like you deserve, because you are telling yourself that they deserve that. They deserve that treatment. And it's just crazy that, to me, in the show, the Americans are looking down on the Germans so much, like, and they don't really have a reason why. And then at the end of it, you see that the Germans have been looking down on the Jewish people even more than humanly possible, or at least we thought humanly possible. It's kind of crazy how much of a double-sided coin it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the episode is called Why We Fight, right? In the beginning of the episode, and even towards the middle end area, you see the guy, I forget his name, he stands up and he yells at the German soldiers who have surrendered, and he says, what are you doing here? You have horses. Like, say hello to Ford and General Motors. I don't think they realized what they were fighting for. Up until that point, they were fighting literally just to go home. Like, this is just another day before I go home. That's why everybody's talking.
It's like saying, episode of MASH.
yeah. And everybody's saying, like, this is what my plans are when I go home. You know, I'm going to marry this Jewish girl with big boobs. That's what that dude was saying. And everybody's just ready to go home. I can almost guarantee even the people that just got there, O'Keefe in particular, he's ready to go home after one day. But then when they reach the concentration camp, that's why we fight. That's why they fight. I say we, like, yeah, America. That was their reason. They didn't know it, but just seeing that, I think, was a turning point for every character. And if we watch the finale,
only one episode left?
Yeah.
yeah. Spoiler, for sure.
That whole show's ruined.
That's what we like to do, right? Ruin the show.
So I think that on the next episode, and I want to watch it from beginning to end. I really, really do now. I think on this last episode, we're really going to see them turn it around. Like, it's not going to be about, I just want to go home. It's going to be about, we made a difference. Like, we're just one company out here, and we were just really, we were doing our jobs, you know? Mm. But it was more than that. It was more than doing our jobs. It was getting our hands dirty so that some people can experience humanity, you know?
And it's also that they have basically this whole time have been living kind of like disrespectful for like appreciative of what they have. Like, they've been in the German land. Even Frank was saying, like, this is the best that I've seen.
Yeah,
I get a hot shower and everything like that. Like, he almost seems the most appreciative. And he's talking down on somebody that maybe we would think is appreciative. And he's saying, like, no, you don't understand how much you should appreciate this. Like, right now, we are all just pissing on what we got, basically. And they are seeing that come to fruition after this.
I mean, that would blow anybody away. That whole situation is a life changer. Yeah. No one's coming out of that situation the same.
Yeah.
I think the amount of trauma that they got from that situation, from that whole thing, is going to be overwhelming. I mean, we see it, right? We saw it in years to come in real life. Like, it was so overwhelming. Like, look how shocked we were by watching an episode, let alone being there, smelling that. Those dead bodies and seeing the carnage. You know, like, as a human, how are we to react to people dying, people kissing you on your face and thanking you because you opened that gate and you allowed them to breathe another day? The guy holding what looked to be his grandpa, whose legs were done and withered away, and all you can do is, like, here's bread.
Yeah.
And then, right, then you have to
lock them
up. Close the gates back up.
That broke me.
Nowhere to put those people.
That was so disheartening. How do you, I mean,
you think you're saved.
But they had to do it, but at the same time, it's like, how do you, what's that dude? Leibniz? No.
Leibowitz?
The guy that speaks German, the guy that speaks German. His heart just broke. Saying that stuff, and it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And it, you know, it's about gaining perspective. Whether, you know, it's these guys or anybody, it really, this episode is really about gaining perspective. Because even if you think you have it bad, you don't have it as bad as some people.
No, absolutely.
And I think it's a tough pill to swallow sometimes, because we like to complain. We really do. Mm-hmm. I love to complain. A lot of these issues that we complain about are about, you know, the first world problems, but
I just tweeted my first world problem today.
What was it?
The AirPod, or the never thought I would be a Apple
fanboy.
They should really make it so that the AirPods plug straight into your phone so that you don't have to charge them.
Oh, $1 million idea. That way you don't accidentally lose them.
Exactly, too.
They have Find My AirPods
on. Oh, my God.
They do?
Yeah.
Individually? Like, where's my right, where's my left? All right. So, based on what we saw in this episode, would you watch the rest?
You mean, am I going to finish this season tonight? No, but I'm going to watch a few episodes when I get home.
From the beginning?
I haven't thought about that yet.
Maybe start episode 4.
I don't know.
Turn it around.
I gotta figure it out. I don't know what to do with my life now.
For me, I probably will not go back and watch it.
That's shocking.
Why?
So last, like, 10 minutes, amazing. Everything else just felt like any other any other war movie show that you've seen before.
To like me. I say, it felt like MASH for a while.
Yeah.
They're just there.
Yeah. It was something that was on and I was like interested in, but it wasn't something that was like captivating. It didn't...
It's really something not.
Now, if my wife, Angie, were to be like, hey, you know, let's start it, I would watch it with her, but it wouldn't be something I would just... I need to finish it.
Yeah, so you thought the beginning of the episode was slow.
It was a bit slow. And I know Jason always gets on me because I don't like plot development. Or,
he doesn't.
But that's
he likes the sitcoms. It. That's what he was saying.
I enjoy sitcoms. I like something that's on and I can escape from the world. I don't want to...
He wants to turn off his brain.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying too, because I kind of felt that, and then in so I had to like ask myself, because I wanted to be very, really purposeful watching this, was while this was happening, okay, why are we seeing what we're seeing? Why are we hearing what we're hearing? The conversations that we're having, what is actually happening? And I think what would make me come back to the show, and I honestly am undecided, but what would make me come back to the show is if I am able to digest it. Kind of like this, where I think back to all the layers, because there's just so many layers, and I feel like we are at like the tip of the iceberg. I feel like it's very much like the music that was in this in the show. It felt like a symphony. Like there are things that you hear on the first time that are very beautiful, and the second time through, you're like, wait a minute, they did that in that part because earlier they did this in that part, and so I feel like. This is just the tip of the iceberg of the entire show, and I would go back to it so that I could see like the layers that develop over time. I'm a huge fan of trivia as well, so I would love to figure out like the ins and outs of these episodes and the development of it, and so I think that would keep me coming back.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a lot of Easter eggs too that maybe if you were to dive a little deeper into it, you could get more substance out of the nuances of the beginning. Like, for example, one of the things that caught my eye was they showed the title of the book that Frank was reading.
The Tree in Brooklyn?
The Tree That Grows in Brooklyn or something like that. Why that book? Like, I'm sure that if you read that book cover to cover, you're going to learn so much about Frank. But it's one of those things that I only caught my second time watching, and I was like, oh, they actually made it purposeful. Like, they zeroed in on that book. Like, why that book?
But that wasn't Frank's book.
It wasn't.
But it was given to him for a reason.
It's maybe about Frank. It's maybe about
the show.
Right. Like, the story, it's maybe about the actual person that read that book, the Frank in real life.
But we can agree that it was there for a purpose. Because it shows the cover.
Right.
For you to be like, oh.
And I think there's a lot of that stuff in the show. But yeah, if you were to watch it once, I don't know that you could catch that. I think
it's semi-autobiographical.
Biographical.
Biographical.
I'm sure. I doubt it's, you know, to the T of what happened. It'd probably be really boring.
About a girl named Betty who grew up in Brooklyn in the 1920s.
Oh, the book.
Yes.
What is the book about? Just read the synopsis.
A Tree Grows in Brooklyn is a semi-autobiographical novel written by Betty Smith. The story focuses on an impoverished but aspirational adolescent girl and her family living in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, New York City. During the first two decades of the 20th century, the book was an immense success.
Cool. So it's probably just a popular book, maybe.
Yeah, it was maybe just a popular book. I don't know. Maybe.
But things like that, honestly, that is a testament to the... What I'm trying to say is that they obviously took their time with this show. And it's not only 10 episodes long. These are the kinds of shows that I really love, that I've considered the best shows, as I was saying. And why I ask about Game of Thrones, like, did it go on too long? Because you have shows that have an agenda, and you shows that, okay, we had an agenda, now I think we have a little bit of free roaming space. And so I love that this one had an agenda, and it stuck to it, and it made efficient use of the time.
For me, I want to watch the whole thing just because I want to know if I'm right about the ending. I want to know about Nixon, first of all. Like, why is it that he's such an alcoholic?
And why does he end up killing himself?
What?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. To watch the last episode, I just want to get closure, too, on some of these characters. And I
have a feeling you're not going to get closure. With only one episode left, I don't think there's going to be as much closure as you think there's going to be. I think it's going to be an open-ended series, and you're going to be like, oh, fuck.
But I think it would be very purposeful for the reason they did that.
Yeah. Can I tell you one reason, Caleb, that you would want to watch this?
Because David Schwimmer's in it.
David Schwimmer is a captain in this show.
I'm assuming he dies early on since he wasn't in this episode.
I don't know.
Maybe he's the German side.
Oh, Schwimmer. I think he's Jewish, though.
Never
mind. Oh, you didn't see him in the concert?
That kind of cat, man. Never mind.
All right. So, any last remarks? Anything else you want to talk about?
Be prepared for the show. I think that's what I would say.
Yeah. Seriously, if you're going to watch the show, it's an HBO show. Legit. It's hardcore HBO. And it's war. And it's raw.
My final thought is, this is one of the highest rated episodes, right, ever?
It's the highest rated episode of the highest rated fiction show on IMDb. Top 250 TV shows.
For me, I wouldn't put it so high. I don't know if it's because I haven't seen any other episode and I don't have any relationship with any character. But for me, I saw that episode and yeah, it was good. It was shocking. It wasn't the best thing I've ever seen, and I want to watch it again. I want to watch the whole thing because I want to know, is that because I didn't watch any of the previous episodes or was it just not my style?
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Right. That's exactly pretty much what I said.
Okay, thank you.
No, I just feel like we came in already knowing it was the top rated show, already knowing that this was the top rated episode of the show, and it just didn't grab me like I thought it would.
Yeah.
I don't know if I really knew that. I wasn't really paying attention to what Chris said prior to that. I knew it was a high rated show.
Well, thanks, everybody. This has been No Context, the podcast.
Peace.
Deuces. Damn, 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 damn.